Tell us about players here who've made a mark on you, Dave.
Wow, there's a few. I mean, one of the most gentlemanly players I can think of was obviously Ian Jones. You know, he came over from New Zealand for the 99 World Cup and then basically stayed after that. And perfect gentleman. He, you know, a pleasure to work with the gentleman. And well, obviously the French.
I would say he's the best player we've had in the whole professional era here.
Yes. He, you know, he wasn't an All Black that got 79 cups for nothing. Yeah. You know, he knew his rugby inside out, and he knew what he should be doing, you know, week in, week out. Yeah. And then obviously our French contingent with their different methods of training and etiquette. The one gentleman that did impress me, obviously, was our friend Serge Simon, who Philippe used to fly over from France for emergency games. People will remember the game where we went down to Clonethly and beat them there in the Heineken, and then came back here and out in Moncrief kicked the marvellous drop goal off the back of one of their props to win the game. I went down to Heathrow to pick Serge up on the instructions of Philippe, and I was stood in the arrivals area, and this gentleman came through with a lovely blazer on with a Superman t-shirt underneath with the lovely little goatee beard and the long unkempt hair, and it did make me chuckle a bit.
He certainly seems to have made an impression on everyone that he came into contact with, including the opposition, or perhaps especially the opposition.
Yes, I did hear a story of him playing, I think it was down at Bath, and there'd been a bit of a ruckus in the middle of the pitch, and the referee was talking to the players, and I think it was probably John Callard, or it could have been Mike Catt even, had come up from fullback to have their £5 worth. And Serge could see him coming over his shoulder. So as the gentleman arrived, his fist came up and hit him under the chin and basically stopped his contribution to the conversation.
Yes. Other players?
Oh, obviously, Trevor Woodman and Phil Vickery. You know, I mean, when they first came here, they were... You know, they were just out of the cult sort of thing, you know, come from, obviously Trevor had come from Bath and Phil had come up from deepest, darkest Cornwall. And, you know, they were always around the club and they used to help me with the lovely frost sheets and that we used to put on in the winter and things like that, you know, because Phil was a farmer's boy, so he could always carry bales, so he was good at carrying the frost sheets around. And yeah, I mean, it used to be quite a entertaining afternoon sometimes, and obviously with Phil Green in, Dave Sims, and you know all the local Gloucester boys with their banter.
Yeah, I know what you mean about Phil and Trevor, because one of our heritage events they came along to, and I got my photo taken, sort of pretending to be a hooker between the two of them. I couldn't believe the size of the shoulders. I couldn't get my hands round.
No, they're rather large lads, aren't they? You know, I mean, they, especially in those days, they were, you know. It's, yeah. But nowadays, all the props seem to be of that sort of ilk.
Yeah, yeah. And the difference I noticed was that they were solid muscle. And Philippe?
Philippe, yes. There was Philippe, he used to... entertain us, because obviously he came over, and obviously the reason his brother Raphael came over, because Raphael could speak English and Philippe was a little bit challenged in that avenue, and Raphael used to teach him, as well as Philippe having lessons, I think, in Cheltenham. And Philippe used to call me L'Homme La Barbe, which is obviously the man with the beard, you know. And he always had sort of like certain names for certain people. James Bennett, who used to be the press officer at one time, he used to have his media office under the temporary hospitality boxes in the southwest corner, and he used to call him the boy in the hut. not, it was harder to say that than it was to remember somebody's name, I thought, but not with Philippe.
So, had he learnt enough English by the time he became the coach here?
I think so. I mean, even when you see him on telly today, I think maybe the nerves of being on the television sort of like affects his English, because he tends to speak better English to you when he's talking to you on a one-to-one basis than he does when he's in front of the camera.
Yeah. I think I'd say he built a very good team here, but he didn't last long enough to really, you know, reap the reward for it.
Well, that's it. I think, you know, if you look at Philippe's sort of like history after he's been at Gloucester, it's been the same, hasn't it? You know, he seemed to have had a lot of money to spend wherever he's gone, and success hasn't really strictly followed him, has it?
Well, not immediately, no.
No.
Now, how about other coach, Richard Hill?
Richard Hill, I really like Richard. He was a nice chap, and obviously with the advent of professionalism, you know, it was a bit of a suck it and see situation with how we were moving forward at the time, and the game was developing, and you know, I think, you know, Richard obviously got caught up in the development of the game, and I think we maybe wanted a bit more success than we were getting at the time.
Which is about the norm, really, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah. It's, you know, it's the only thing that, you know, that does worry you at times, that, you know, we tend to try and follow the football remit that, you know, if a coach hasn't won sort of like five games on the trot, then it's time to move him on, you know.
It's professional sport, isn't it?
That's right,
it's rugby, yeah. Other coaches? Who else? We had Dean Ryan,
I didn't have too much to do with Dean, because obviously by that time we moved to Hartbury. Obviously he was here for a while, obviously under Nigel, and you know, things seemed to go okay then. But and then obviously Brian taking over from Dean. Yeah, you know, they allowed me to get on with the pitch as best I could, and you know, they concentrated on the playing side.
Yeah, actually I skipped there, remiss of me, across Nigel Melville, didn't I? Anything to say on Nigel?
No, that's what I said, but, you know, Nigel, he was sort of like the same sort of thing. He kept himself to himself, and as long as we got sort of like a reasonable pitch as best as we could, you know, afford at the time, and then he was happy.